Good morning.
Good morning.
You know, I'm already going to come off script. I was at home and I was preparing what I wanted to say today on this really wonderful, as my grandmother would call it, great getting up morning. And my son saw me take all of these papers off the printer and he said, "Mama, surely you're not going to read all of that." And I said, "No, son, usually when I type things, I do it in 11 or 12 font, but this is like really big in like 14 because I'm dealing with my ego right now. I may need glasses." So this is probably at about 3.5 pages, so don't panic at all. So, and I'm going to stay on script. That's the other thing. I'm going to stay on script because if I don't, what normally happens is my heart and my spirit well up and I talk too long. Okay. So good morning, United Universalist Church of Loudoun, all of your visitors and special guests today, those who attend regularly and faithfully, and those who are in this new place for the first time. Thank you for making me feel comfortable and welcome, and my family feel welcome and comfortable this morning. And I do have some family here. This is wonderful. I have coming to the table family here. Can you raise your hand? I have EJI, Equal Justice Initiative people here. Yes. And I might even have some Summer Peace Building Institute people here because I was at EMU University 2 weeks ago taking classes there. And we are just excited about what's going on in racial justice and social justice all over the world. So I'm bringing you greetings also. Oh, I'm sorry. I have another I have this handsome young man here. Can I brag? This is my son. His name is Wade. And he came here with me today. We left his four brothers at home. Wade actually, I hail from Richmond, Virginia. Wade is up here in Maryland. Wade, like his mother, is a storyteller, and I'm getting off script again. Wade is my middle son, and by the time he was 3 years old, we realized that he was severely to profoundly deaf. And we named him Wade Aaron. It came to me in my spirit in a dream. Wade being a legacy name in my family, my grandfather's name. And Aaron, because the Lord told me very clearly that this child was going to be a storyteller and someone who would lead people from his own place, his own spiritual place, and travel all over the world. So at 3.5, when we realized that he was deaf, I had some issues with God about that. Because I was like, how are you going to do that work and he can't hear? I don't know if anybody in here ever get mad with God a little bit. I was mad. But I'm here today to say that miracles happen. Wade is an accomplished dancer, actor, comedian, performer. He has done seasons with the Alvin Ailey Dancers, the Dance Theater of Harlem, was attended the Washington School of Ballet, the Richmond Ballet, the San Francisco Ballet, and has even traveled nationally with a group that he leads to go to Hong Kong to work on a television series. He is the artistic director for the National Touring Company for the Deaf, and he has exceeded all of our expectations. So that truly is a testament to what God can do. Okay. So as co-founder and co-convener of Coming to the Table, RVA. People ask me what I do. I help to facilitate the courageous yet clumsy, often uncomfortable conversation on race by first creating a safe space for constructive dialogue. CTT is inspired by the vision of Dr. Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. in his I Have a Dream speech. And it explores the challenges of reaching across racial, political, and societal lines, literally in the dining room at the dinner table. We were founded on the campus of Eastern Mennonite University, and we work at building relationships across all of those lines, healing the wounds of enslavement, taking action, and uncovering what I like to call our barbed wired history. And I'll explain that. Again, I'm from Richmond, Virginia, born and raised there. So I don't know if anybody has heard this before, but we're still fighting the Civil War there. It is the former capital of the Confederacy. And so often we get so close to being able to relive and re-experience our history, but then it pricks us. The stories and the mistruths that we have built to protect us surround us like barbed wire. And as we try to take them down, sometimes it hurts. So we do this work mostly by sharing stories and being able to do truth-telling in history so we can experience our city differently. I come to this work as a storyteller, as I mentioned. I've written a couple of books, a couple of plays. All of them have a bend to social justice, but most of them have, they tell the stories that you might not hear on the evening news. Being able to see another side of America, of what we are, what we were, and hopefully what we could be. I'm also a trauma-informed care specialist for the Virginia Department of Health. And what that means is I help people deal with all kinds of horrendous situations, adverse childhood experience, and to move through generational and historical trauma. And if that weren't enough, I have recently earned the new title of CEO in charge of programming for our Richmond chapter, which has grown tremendously, dare I say, since the last presidential election. Coming to the table, RVA now engages over 600 online members. And through our book club, our movie club, and monthly and semi-monthly dinner gatherings and events, we estimate that we share a plate at the table with over 250 people a month. All of these people coming to cross lines, to experience life differently and holistically. So I was asked this fall, Danita, what's going to be our campaign for coming to the table in the next year? And without hesitation, I said, reparations. People looked at me and said, reparations, that means money, that means giving up power, that means not enough for everybody. And I said, good grief, no, it means just the opposite. It means sharing, being bountiful, and knowing there's enough for everybody. We had to kind of reframe this topic for Richmond. So we call it repairing what is broken, which is actually what the word reparations means. And not just fix it, because we're not looking for a quick fix here. We're talking about looking at systemic issues and grassroots issues, personal issues, finding out what is wrong, what is not serving anymore, and boldly, enthusiastically, making some changes. And coming to the table, our conversations on race and racial equity, racism in schools, housing, all forms of employment, economics, public work, and the environment. We have many systems that are cracked, folks slipping through those cracks, and we are broken at our foundation. This national conversation on reparations is all about repairing things that we can no longer afford to carry around in their current state. Systems that won't work any longer, Our nation is being called to weigh our morality, our spirituality, and even our humanity by the pound. How much are these things worth in dollars and cents? In Richmond, at the third Tuesday dinner gatherings that I co-convene monthly, we are blessed to have greeters at the door, smiling faces. You better have smiling faces when you're talking about stuff like this. Welcoming you to this new experience of safe, facilitated conversation about some very difficult topics. If those smiles don't pull people in, the smell of the potluck dinner will. Thank goodness. And you know, and from where I sit, I see everyone carrying in the ceramic ware and the aluminum and the Pyrex dishes with delicious food. And I pay attention to those people, what they're carrying in their hands and what they're carrying in their spirits. Everyone comes to the table carrying something. The first thing I normally do is, and I know I'm a visitor, but I asked people who are sitting in the back who have never been here before or haven't been here in a while to be bold enough to come sit in the front. So if you're comfortable with that, any of you back there, if you would like to move, this would be the time to do it. That's as pushy as I'm gonna get this time. Because if I were at home, I would say, when you sit down, don't sit down with somebody that you know. Don't sit down with somebody who looks like you, shops where you shop. If you can help it, don't sit with anybody who was born in the same decade that you were. I don't like to see a lot of gray-haired people sitting together. I don't. Because this is the time, especially now, when we need to learn from each other. This is the time for that. So those who are willing to move can do that, but I'm going to make sure, I'm going to be like the police when we leave. You make sure that you embrace and talk to someone so that you can have a different experience and something that you can carry away. Okay. My next request is that you put your hands together like this as a cup. You know, most wisdom and spiritual traditions have something in it about a chalice, something that we carry, okay? When we come together like this, we need to be reminded of what we want to carry through this time and this present place. Why did we come today? Why did we decide to be here? What drew us? And what is our expectation? What do we want to fill ourselves up with? What do we want to keep? Breathe that in for just a moment. And as you do, take a moment to also realize that for you to come to this place and to carry something more, something richer, something deeper out, you also have to be willing to let something go. What are you willing to let go of right now? What assumption, what story, what misinformed information, what something that does not serve anymore? With me, please, breathe in what's possible and exhale everything that keeps you from that possibility. Amen and ashe. Today, we hope to do some unpacking. Mm-hmm. Any of you ever have to pack in a hurry? Filling up your cups or your suitcases or your pocketbooks or your wallets? When I travel, even when I have weeks to prepare, and I don't. And it always comes down to a mad rush pile of me stuffing things that I want to carry and think about my willingness to carry them. Obviously, I can't take everything. I'm often amazed at what things make the cut, what I do decide to carry, and the things that don't make the cut. Like, I might take an arsenal of hair supplies and then leave my umbrella or my favorite pair of dress shoes at home that I wanted to wear with that dress. In my mad dash, I might even leave my briefcase in the Uber to the airport, but by all means, I'm going to hold on to my double, triple, quadruple vanilla latte that I took the time to get from Starbucks, and I'm going to try to get on the plane with that. It doesn't work. Yes, deciding what to carry and packing it can be tough, especially if you're packing in a hurry, like an eviction. Anybody here ever been evicted? You don't have to tell me, because I have. The crushing sting, the crushing things about an eviction is they occur after you have done the best that you can with whatever you had to work with. You have used up all of your resources until there is nothing left, and you are faced with deciding what is worth carrying forward. What tangible thing is worth rescuing, worth saving, when you yourself might feel worthless? What is worth carrying forward? Today, I brought something that not only myself, but many of my generations have carried forward. Yes, I thought, you know, you thought it was the Hope Diamond or something like that. Yes, this is a stool. Now, this stool has been in my family for generations. My first memory of this stool was when I was a little girl, and we would go visit my grandmother, and she always kept this stool at the foot of her bed. And she would say, "Danita, stand up on that stool and tell me what you learned this year since I've seen you." Thank you. And I would tell her what I learned. And when my cousins came to the house, they had to do the same thing. She'd put that stool out, and they had to stand up on it, and we'd have to tell what we learned for that year at school. My mother had to do the same thing with her 7 siblings. Every day before they came home from school, this stool would be actually outside on the front porch. And before they could come in the house, they each had to stand up on that stool and say something that they learned. My grandmother and her 12 siblings did the same thing with this stool. When they came home, the stool would be at the porch on the front step, and they had to stand up on that stool and say what they learned before they could get in the house. My mother was born in 1934. My grandmother, Rachel Locust, who was married to Wade Locust, you're his namesake, was born in 1902. And my great-grandfather, Wiley Locust, the man who made the stool, was born in 1870. My family has come a long way from the field that they used to tend to the first generation in freedom. And as many times as I had told that story about this stool, I was a real grown woman before I realized that when Wiley made this stool and asked his children to stand up on it, he was carrying this, legacy, and the hope for his family into the future. I would say in his mind, he was saying, rise up. Learn all you can. Be all you can. And don't come this way no more. I also realized that when my grandmother's generation stood on this stool and told what they learned in school to their parents, they were also sharing education to the generation before them who did not learn how to read and write. When my sons were little, they also stood on that stool. They're kind of big for that now. But when they did that, it reminded me of where we had come from. And through all that families go through, all of the pain, the hope that we carry, all of the joy, all of the moving here to there, all of the trying to find we carried this stool. There are stories in my family about having to leave a homeland, maybe much like some of you here today, losing homes, land stolen, deeds destroyed, unlawful evictions, and broken hearts. This stool has been home when there was no home for me. It carries my pain, it carries my joy, and it carries my hope. Because for every defeat, every wrong move, every loss, every shame, every humiliation, there has also been the gift of another chance. Resilience, apology and forgiveness for a past, reconciling the years of repairing. How do we reconcile that? How? By carrying the moment in a way that honors it and stepping up to be more. This stool is not worth much if weighed by the pound. How much is it worth in dollars or cents? I really don't know. Probably not much. Not much that I can see. But on a greater scale, it's priceless. And in closing, I want to leave you with a story of a woman named Mary who came to Jesus carrying something precious and priceless to her. Carrying what we refer to in scripture as an alabaster box of precious oils. Now, in that scripture, it says that Jesus was in the home of Simon the leper, which I'm just going to assume is not like the Trump Towers. I could be wrong. According to the scripture in Mark and Matthew, this woman brought Jesus a gift of oil. She washed his feet, washed his head with it, and was then thoroughly chastised for doing so. The oil cost so much. Lady, you could have done so much with that oil. You can't afford to give it away like that. You can't afford to share it. Today, I argue that when this sister girl heard that Jesus was coming through, this was her opportunity to get it right. She realized she only had one moment to pack, and to pack what was really important, What should I carry? She probably asked herself. She had to get out of where she was, morally, spiritually. She had to rethink her humanity. And she chose to carry the thing that gave her the most comfort, the most joy, and that embodied her story and that story of her generations. That box of oil told the story of where she had been, what she had to do to get there, and what part of her she had been forced to leave behind. Friends, I just want you to know this thing this day. The things we carry and how we carry them through this life define who we are. And ultimately, those things become the things that carry us. Only she knew the cost of the oil, and only she knew the cost of her praise. And the bean counters out there may have known its net worth on the market, its value on the stock exchange, what capital gains were possible in both the foreign and domestic markets, and what the international calculating trading was value of, blah, 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 blah. But what exactly are we talking about trading here? Are we talking about money? Are we talking about tangible worth? I say it's something so much more. So can the Dow Jones Industrial Average possibly calculate the price of human suffering? What we do to get closer to our humanity? Can it calculate our ancestral grief and the grief that both African Americans and European Americans, Black and white people, go through and hold from decade to decade? Still, we are paying the price for not settling the debt that weighs on us all. Shame on us. So, let's speak clearly, family. We can choose to carry the past with us any way we want. We can enamor it with hatred, racism, supremacy, fragility, greed, shame, blame, fear, and grief, you name it. Or we can carry our history with grace and forgiveness and reconciliation and be ready to do the work of repairing what is broken in each of us, in our communities, in our nation. Let us choose forward. Let's choose to go forward with dignity. I am so grateful to stand in front of you today. Again, as Grandma Rachel will say, on this great getting up morning. Before this beautiful blended congregation. And not just blended in hues, but blended in stories, in past, in legacies, in heritage, all rooted here through grace. Just a few days ago, we celebrated Juneteenth, Freedom Day. Yes. Which teaches us about Sankofa, okay? It's a Yoruba word that means looking forward, walking forward by remembering the past. There's strength in that, family. And a week from now, we'll be celebrating the 4th of July in the year of our national celebration of the American Evolution. Yeah, that's what we're calling it. It's a revolution here to me, but we are evolving into something greater, something that we have never experienced before as a nation. And I am inviting you to hold that and carry that momentum in your hearts, because it's going to take all of you to get us there. I invite you to look around you right now and see the change that's coming and welcome it. Breathe in the possibility of a new America that we all have never, ever seen before or experienced. Breathe in love. Breathe in forgiveness. Breathe in the power of reconciling the past. Breathe in compassion and acceptance and more joy. This is what home feels like, family. And finally today, I ask you to ask yourselves, what are you carrying forward from this day? How are you carrying today? What are you ready to leave behind? And what of true value are you leaving to the next generations? I thank you. I'm honored to be in your presence. And I want to introduce you again to this young man who's going to carry that stool into the next generation for my family.